Welcome to A Time of Hope. Our program contains highlights of our last Sunday service, but we want you to know we'd be glad for you to join this Sunday services in person. Sunday school starts at 9:30, church is at 10:30, and we'd just be glad to see you.
Our prayer of the day. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first two scripture lessons this morning are read by Carla Clennon. It's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Remember and Don't Forget, Part 1, by Pastor Cobb.
Our first reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be people for his possessions, out of all of the peoples that are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any of the people that your Lord set his love upon you and chose you, for you were not the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you, and he is keeping the oath which he swore to his fathers. The Lord has brought us out of the mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh king, Egypt. Know that therefore that the Lord your God is God, and the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Here ends our first reading. Our second reading is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. So in the lowest parts of the space of the wall, in open places, I standard the people according to their families and to their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and I rose and said to the nobles, to the officials, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord is your great and terrible and fights for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.
Our gospel reading will be found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Before we get started this morning, I want to say happy anniversary to Jerry and Kathy. 25 years? 35? About 25 to 30 years? Okay. I heard 59. Okay. All right. Good to have Joanne back with us. She's up there in the box there kind of taking care of me. And it's interesting that the sermon today is on remembering and not forgetting. Before I even walked into the sanctuary today, I'd already forgotten to put out the confirmation sheets for the confirmation class. So did you guys bail me out? Did you find them in my office? You didn't. Okay. All right. So I messed up there. And then I'm walking up the aisle shaking people's hand, and Joanne meets me down the aisle with my wireless mic. And so I had already forgot those two things right there. But you know, I'm not going to ask how many people did their homework from last week reading Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, 8. You don't need to have a show of hands on that at all. But we're starting a two-part series. We're going to be looking at things that we need to remember and not forget in the Old Testament. And then next week, we're going to look at things that we need to remember and not forget in the New Testament. And so I'll come up with some homework maybe at the end, or I'll put it on Facebook for something for you all to read. But, you know, it's easy to forget things. Last week, at Salem, I had every intention when I walked out of there to remember my water bottle. Didn't make it here. But this week, by golly, I did. I made my water bottle. It made it with me. But last week, you probably didn't notice, but I was wearing a backup dress belt last week. I had forgotten my dress belt down at my mom and dad's. I'd been down there to hunt. I'd gotten everything that I could get into the van, and I forgot the belt. They brought it with them to church last Sunday. They tried to give it to me during church. I said, oh, let's wait till everybody's gone so they don't find anything out about that. So they gave it to me after church was over. Earlier in the week, I was supposed to come for a meeting here, meet some people here at California, and go to Higginsville. I'd stayed overnight at Mom and Dad's, was supposed to bring a nice shirt and a tie with me. I came down for communion, to have communion and see Pastor Moll on his last Sunday. About a little bit out of town, my wife calls me on the phone and says, don't you think you need your shirt and your tie? And I said, yeah, that would be nice, but I'm already 20 minutes down the road. So luckily, Dad had his a shirt and a tie that could match. So I was wearing a borrowed shirt and tie last Monday at that meeting up in Higginsville. But we forget things all the time. My attention span is about 45 seconds. All right, I'm just going to be honest with you on those things. There are several trailer locks scattered down Route HH where our neighborhood is at, because when I unhook the trailer from the back of my truck, it never fails. I'll tell myself, put that lock, you know, remember to lock your trailer back up, and you know exactly where I set it. I set it on the back bumper of the truck, and I tell myself, once I get it moved over there, I'm going to go get that lock, and I'm going to lock it up. But two times now, I have forgotten, and those locks are scattered somewhere. So I'm on to my third trailer lock. But we're always reminded by our spouses, don't forget to do such and such. Or we tell them to please remind us to do such and such. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, and if you want to turn there and also hold your thumbs in chapters 5, 6, 7 as well, we're going to be looking at where Moses is at with the people. They're getting ready to walk into the promised land. And if you remember from last week, one whole generation has died now. Everybody age of 20 and over, except for Joshua and Caleb, has died in the desert. And so they're getting ready to walk in a brand new generation into the promised land. And God wants them to remember certain things and not forget certain things so that they'll be faithful and productive in their faith. And he wants the same thing for us. What does he want us to remember and not forget? Let's look right there. And again, you can follow along in your bulletin. There's some blanks you can fill out on the sermon. Let's look there at chapter 8. And we'll read verses 2 through 4 and 14 through 16. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Skip over to verses 14 through 16. It says, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. So what's the first thing that God wanted his people and he wants us to remember and not forget? He wants us first to remember where we came from before God stepped into our lives. Now, why would God want us to remember where we were at before God stepped into our lives? There's a lot of things before I met Christ that I don't want to remember. I don't want to remember how I was, the language I used, the attitude I had, how I treated some people. Even after Christ, there's been a lot of failings. God's not wanting us to remember those things that make us feel guilty. He wants us to remember the grace, the mercy, the power, and the love he showed each one of us so that we can be encouraged in our time of need. This remembering is also supposed to be part of our Sunday worship. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. It's the very end part of the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath day holy. But look what he says there. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That is why Sunday worship is so important. It's a time to remember we were once slaves to sin, much like the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, and that God's mighty hand, his mercy, is the only thing that saved us. But why did God save us? We read it just a few moments ago, and I'm going to read it again in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want you to catch a couple key phrases. He says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not send his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord is your God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. He chose them, and he chooses me and you, not because we're the best, the brightest, the biggest. He chooses us, warts and all, because he loves us. But you might not feel very lovable right now. You may have said to yourself, you know, preacher, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things from my past. You don't know the things that I've gone through. I've made way too many mistakes. But God tells his people right there, he says, I chose you because I loved you, and you are my treasured possession. And he says the same thing to us. Another preacher said it this way in the same type of sermon. This was his quote. We remember so that we don't forget. We remember so that we know what to expect. We remember so that all the junk of this present moment doesn't cloud our eyes of faith so that we can't see his presence. We remember. And in remembering, we keep the Sabbath day holy. It is that day we get together and remember who we belong to. It is the day that we get together and remember that we're not alone. It is the day that we remember that God has great plans for his children. We remember. And in our remembering, we make this day unique and special, not because every other day we forget, not because this is the only time we remember, not because this is the only day that we acknowledge God's activity. Rather, this day is special because we are a community who remembers together. We are together, and together we remember. We remember what the Lord has done for us. We remember what the Lord is doing for us. We remember what the Lord has planned for us. Hebrews chapter 10 says it this way, and he reaffirms the importance of Sunday worship. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what Sunday worship is about. It's about encouragement for us together. So the first thing he wants us to remember is to make Sunday worship a priority. What's the second thing that he wants us to remember and not forget? Look at verses 1, the end of part 3, and verses 6 and 11. He says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Look at the bottom part of verse 3. He says, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then verse 6, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. And then finally, verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. So the second thing that he wants us to remember and not forget is don't forget his commands and his words. Look at the words he uses. Be careful. His words are more important than bread. Observe them. Revere them. Do not forget them. Do not fail. God wrote 10 commandments for the people, and he wrote them in stone so they could always have them. 10 commandments. But you know, they could all be boiled down to one word, obedience. Obedience to love, obedience to serve, obedience to his son Jesus. I mean, Adam and Eve had it even easier. They only had to remember one commandment. Don't eat from that tree right over there. That one. God pointed it out. He probably had a flashing light over the top of it so they could see it. Here's the tree of, you know, life. That's perfect. You can stay right there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from that one. But they forgot about it. They were deceived. They got distracted from it. But what specific words and commands does God want us not to forget? Well, you can say there's the Ten Commandments. We remember those in our confirmation class. But we read it earlier. Matthew chapter 22. He said two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. But you know, sometimes it's easy to forget that that is the main focus of our Christian walk. But see, God wants us also to remember those times and remember, help our children remember the words as well. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Our children have to see our daily in our lives the impact of Scripture that it has in our daily decision making. When temptation comes, when disappointment comes, when we make a mistake, do they see the impact that Scripture has in our life? When Satan throws his fiery arrows at each one of us through an accident or a diagnosis or a discouragement, do we have Scriptures in our mind that are ready to put those arrows out? We see Jesus using Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 in his battle with Satan, found in Matthew chapter 4, when he says, "Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Is his Scripture like bread to each one of us? Are you spending regular time in God's Word, letting it speak to you? A regular consumption of God's Word will have a cumulative positive impact on your spiritual life. I guarantee it. I believe the Bible is powerful, but it's only powerful if it's opened and it's used. You know, I take regular doses of medicine, and I brought one of them with me, and I take it usually around lunchtime, so just give me a second here, all right? But you know, I could put this pill real close to my mouth. I could put it on my head. I could put it close to my heart. It does me no good. I could look at it and admire it. I could say, "Man, that's the best medicine ever." But unless I take it internally, hold on a second here. Because if I don't take it now, I'll forget it. But it makes a positive impact on my physical well-being. But they do no good if they just stay in the bottle. It's the same way with our involvement with God's Word. Find what works best for you. Maybe it's the morning. Maybe it's the evening. Maybe it's listening to a radio program or a devotion book. But make sure you're spending regular time with God's Word open so it can make a positive impact on your life. What Scriptures do you turn to in the dark of night? When you wake up and you're frustrated and you're scared? Maybe it's Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I know I skipped a few verses, but you get the point. Maybe it's Psalm 34, verse 18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." Maybe it's John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. There's many rooms in my Father's house." Maybe it's the very end of Matthew chapter 28. "And I'm surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Or maybe it's Romans 8, 28. "And we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." Or my personal favorite, Philippians 4, 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There's a couple I would visit just north of Jamestown, Truman and Hilda Shintaw. I would take communion to them each month, once a month. And one of those months, Hilda came out from her back room and she had something in her hands. It was her confirmation book. She wanted to show me her confirmation book. She still remembered her confirmation verse. I think it was from Romans somewhere. But that's how important Scripture was to her. And a few months ago when her husband Truman passed away, she held on to those same promises of Scripture, knowing that Truman is getting the reward of his faith. A year and a half ago, I got a phone call on a Sunday morning. I was going to preach up at Higbee, and a good friend of ours who had been battling prostate cancer was in his last days. I got a call from the wife, and it just said, "You know, Russ, we need to see you. Could you come up?" It was Father's Day 2017. Everything I associate either with sports events or something on TV, you can ask my wife. Betty and I went up to go visit him. He was still lucid. He only had a few days to live. He wanted to talk about his funeral. So we went over different things. And toward the end, I started talking to him about John chapter 11. I told him the story of Lazarus, and he's very familiar with it. And I said, "You know, when Mary and Martha said, 'You know, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. You can still do something special.'" And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." And then he asked Mary, "You know, Mary, do you believe this?" And she said, "I believe you're the one that's come into the world." And I said, "Greg, I'm going to ask you the same question." I said, "Do you believe this?" And I'll never forget his words. You better believe I do. 3 days later, Greg passed away. That is when Scripture is most powerful in those situations. So make knowing and cherishing God's Word a priority. The last thing that he wants us to remember is found in verses 12 through 14 and then 17 through 20. But I'm just going to read verses 17 through 20. He says, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. But if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." The last thing that he wants us to remember is remember how great and awesome God is. He knew the people were going to become proud. He knew they were going to walk into a promised land that could fulfill all their needs. It had everything they need. They could just dig in the ground. Copper came out. Their feet never swelled for 40 years with all the walking they did. Their clothes never wore out. They got water from rocks. They got food from heaven. But even then, there was the danger that they were going to forget how great God was and how he had provided for them. He tells them to remember the great things God has done for them. He wants us to think about the great things that God has done for us as well. Think about all the times when you know it's just because of God that a situation got resolved. Maybe it's a time when your car broke down on the side of the road and at just that moment a friend came by to either pick you up or help you fix your car. This just happened to me in the spring. I had left the house, I'd had a flat tire, I thought I'd fixed the flat tire, and I met a friend. There was no reason that he was supposed to be on that road. And before I got on 179 to go north, we stopped to chat, and I told him about my tire, and he just looked at it a second. He said, "Let me take a look at that." The lug nuts on my tire were all coming loose. If I'd gotten on 179 and gotten on I-70, those lug nuts would have come off. I would either have been seriously injured or my van would have been totally destroyed. He told me, he says, "I don't even know why I'm supposed to be here." He said, "I was just, you know, going around. I was trying to find my phone. I just thought I'd just drive down this road and, you know, try to go to the farm." And I said, "I know exactly why you're here." And it still gives me chills today. But think about all the times that God has stepped in and the great things that he's done for you. Nehemiah told the people in Nehemiah 14, he says, "Remember how great and awesome God is." We have a great and awesome God on our side. But it's easy to forget this when all we see is hurt, destruction, and disappointment. You know, God knows it's a human tendency to forget about him and think it's all because of our own doing. Look at what I've done. Look at my house. Look at my accomplishments. Look at my family. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. The guy had had the most wonderful harvest of all. He had planted at the right time, fertilized at the right time, the rain came at the right time, and when he harvested, the best harvest he had ever had. But what was his first response? "Hey, I'm going to keep it all to myself. I don't even have enough room for it. I'm just going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Eat, drink, and be merry." Then God said, "Because of that, your life's going to be demanded today." Job said it this way, talking about the great things that God had done for him. In the very last chapter of Job 42, after he had lost everything, after everything he had gone through, he had questioned God and God had responded to him. He said this, verse 6. He says, "You know, my ears had heard of you," meaning I've heard people in Sunday school class, I've heard preachers preach, I've heard it on the radio, I'm paraphrasing again. He said, "But until I went through this situation," he says, "now my eyes have seen you at work." Our faith becomes real when we go through the toughest of times and we see God's work firsthand. Psalm 143 says it this way, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." So the last thing he wants us to remember is remember God's wonders. You know, everyone forgets. I take solace in that. Even Old Testament heroes forget. Abraham forgot the promise that he was going to be a father of a great nation. And when God didn't deliver on that promise, he kind of found another lady that he thought would help him fulfill that promise. David forgot the 6th and 10 commandments. And because of that, he had destruction in his personal life, his family, and his kingdom. Samson forgot to keep the secret of his strength to himself. Because of that, he suffered for 20 years. It's easy to forget to worship God. It's easy to forget his words. And it's easy to forget the wonders of God in the hustle and bustle of life. But do you remember when God first stepped into your life? You know I do. I was challenged by my youth minister, Robin Sigers, that it took guts to step out on faith and make that decision. And so I made that decision at the end of my freshman year of high school, and it's been the best decision of my life. But has God stepped into your life? Have you accepted his free gift of forgiveness and grace to wipe the slate clean and become a new creation in him, holy and pure? Maybe you made that decision years ago, but you need to rededicate yourself to remembering and not forgetting. Remember, God chose you because he loves you. Take God at his word this morning and start living a life totally dependent on him. You know I'm always available to pray with you or listen to you, but may God bless each one of you this morning with his presence and his peace. But remember to worship. Don't forget his words and his commands, and remember his wonders. Father, you tell us to pray without ceasing. You tell us to offer up prayers through all times, prayers, Father, of healing, prayers, Father, of guidance. But Father, we know that you're with us with each prayer that we give. We pray, Father, for the ones on our prayer list, also the ones that are mentioned during our prayer cell on Tuesday morning. Lots, I know, of burdens of hearts that are unspoken. I pray, Father, that we have faith in the promises of prayer, that you hear us, Father, that you listen to us, and Father, that you do respond to us. Maybe not in the ways that sometimes we want, but Father, we know that you're there and that you have our best needs at heart. And I pray, Father, that you'd be with our military, the ones that are away from their family as we start approaching Thanksgiving as well as Christmas. We're thankful for the technology that we have to see them through our phones or through our computers, but Father, it doesn't replace having them here in person. We're thankful for their service. Father, just be with their families. Be with all the ones that are going to be traveling this week. Lots of people on the roads. Father, we've had lots of accidents in the last week or two in our area. Just give safety to everyone as they're traveling. And Father, thank you for everybody that's made this service special today. And I pray, Father, that we feel your presence through our worship as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. It's been good to get encouragement from fellow believers. Father, remember that you love us, that you chose us, that we are your treasured possession. Sometimes we don't feel like much of a treasure, but we know that it's your Holy Spirit and it's your Son's forgiveness that makes us a treasure in your eyes. I pray, Father, that you just be with each one today, give them safety, help them have opportunity to find someone that doesn't have a place to come worship, that they'll worship with them here. But Father, I pray that we just always look to you. Remember your words, Father, and remember how great and awesome a God you are. We pray for the ones on our prayer list. We pray for safety. And we pray, Father, that we can all be back here again next Sunday, worship together and encourage one another to be more like you each and every day. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
As our bell choir plays our closing, we thank you for listening to A Time of Hope. And again, I want you to know you're always welcome to come to Sunday School and worship with us. Sunday School is at 9:30 this morning and church is at 10:30. God bless your Sunday.